Please tell me when will the day be mine, when my offenses will end and the taste for pure holy name will be infused within my heart by the power of divine grace.
Considering myself lower than a blade of grass, bringing the quality of forbearance into my heart, showing respect to all, myself being freed from all false pride, when will I taste the essence of the liquid nectar of the holy name?
Neither wealth, nor followers, nor beautiful women, described in worldly poetry, none of these bodily pleasures do I covet. O Lord Gaurahari, please give me causeless devotion to your lotus feet, birth after birth.
When I chant the divine name of Sri Krishna, will my body thrill with ecstasy, and my words choke up. Then will pallor and trembling occur. And when will my eyes pour forth endless streams of tears?
When in the land of Navadvipa on the banks of the Ganges, will I run about guilelessly calling, O Gora, O Nityananda, dancing and singing like a madman, giving up all considerations?
When will Lord Nityananda show me mercy and release me from the illness of materialism? When will he give me the shade of his lotus feet and let me enter into the marketplace of his holy name?
I shall buy and plunder the mellows of the name of Hari and become wholly intoxicated by those liquid mellows of the holy name. I shall become stunned by touching the feet of those great souls who are able to relish those mellows. I will be constantly immersed in the sweet nectar of the holy name.
When will there be an awakening of compassion for all fallen souls? And when will this Bhakti Vinod, forgetting his own happiness, with a meek heart set out to propagate by humble entreaty the sacred order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?
Thank you. This one's tough, dude.
Okay, we'll do something more simple.
Yeah. Is that the one?
Yeah, that was the last time.
Okay. Let's see. Okay. Baja Hurim. Everybody knows Baja Hurim, right?
Yeah.
This one.
Which one?
No, no, Rangi.
I can do that, but I have to do it with the mridanga. I can't put it with the harmonia. We can do that afterwards.
Okay.
Which added that yesterday.
Yeah,
oh, no, day before yesterday.
The day before yesterday.
Yeah. Bajo Hore Mala.
Yeah.
O mind, just worship the lotus feet of the son of Nanda, which make one fearless. Having attained this rare human birth, cross over this ocean of worldly existence to the association of saintly persons. Both in the day and at night I remain sleepless. Suffering the pains of the heat and cold, the wind and the rain, for a fraction of flickering happiness I have uselessly served wicked and miserly men. What assurance of real happiness is there in all of one's wealth, youthfulness, sons, and family members? This life is tottering like a drop of water on a lotus petal, therefore you should always serve and worship the divine feet of Lord Hari. It is the desire and great longing of Govinda Das to engage himself in the nine processes of bhakti, namely hearing the glories of Lord Hari and chanting those glories, constantly remembering him and offering prayers to him, serving the Lord's lotus feet, serving the Supreme Lord as a servant, worshipping him with flowers and incense and so forth, serving him as a friend and completely offering the Lord one's very self.
Thank you. Thank you.
one did you want to chant?
What was your first?
Jai Radhe.
Yeah.
No, Rangi.
Sundi Shama.
Page 16, Mahat. Jai Radhe.
Oh, I don't. I have a different book. Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Radhe.
Nava
Nava Rangi Chivangi Jaya Sham Suvangi Sham. I need to tell you that. Huh?
How we keep up.
Nava Nava Rangi Chivangai. Do you want to read the translation?
Yeah.
Huh? We can just pass it around.
I don't know.
The
pink book has two
of
them. I can take my sweater off.
Take that pink book. I'll take my pink book back. You can give pink book over there so they can read from there.
Okay, give it to us, Musa. It's only one book, Musa.
Yeah.
Is it broken?
Bring the whole thing.
Whole thing. All glories to that person who stands in a beautiful threefold stance. He is a connoisseur of newer and newer playful sports. And his body is effulgent with nicest neck, dark complexion. This is Lord Shyama. All glories to you. Radhe, all glories to you. Hari Priya. O Sri Radhe, you are the abode and reservoir of all happiness. One and two.
O Sri Radhe, you are Shyama, a fresh young maiden with a slender waist and those with the luster of new adolescence. Gauri, you possess the fairest golden complexion. Niti Kishori, you are eternally situated in the sweet blossoming of divine youth. Prithamajori, you are the only perfect match for your most beloved. O Sri Krishna, you are Rasika, the relisher of transcendental mellows. Rasilo, you are sweet and relishable in every aspect. Chaira Chabilo, you are very effulgent and you represent the super excellent of pure enchantment. Gunagaravino, you are proud of your own transcendental qualities.
O Sri Radhe, you are Rasa Viharini, the supportive princess of the static Rasa dance festival. Rasa Visatharani, you are the distributor of pure ecstatic Rasa mellows to all living entities. Vyavura Dharani, you love to embrace the chest of your lover. Oshi Krishna, you are Nava Navarangi, the connoisseur of newer and newer playful sports. Navala Thirbangi, you like to stand on threefold bending posture that always appears ever fresh. Shyama Suangi, you're beautiful. Your body is perfectly
exquisite,
in both proportion and deep, dark complexion.
O Sri Radhe, you are Prana Priyari, the most dear living friend of everyone's life. Rupa Ujjayari, you manifest a brilliant splendor of sheer beauty. Ati Sukumari, you are extremely soft and delicate due to your ever-fresh youth. O Sri Krishna, you are Maina Manohar, the enchanter of the mind of Cupid. Maha Modakara, you are grand, great transcendental bliss to all living entities. Sundara Bharatara, you are supremely beautiful.
O Sri Radhe, you are Shobha Saini, ever wonderfully, beautiful, gracefully, reclining on a flower bed. Moha Maini, you are the dear luster of the transcendental Cupid, Lord Kamadeva. Kopi Baini, your speech is like the soft, gentle cooing of the cuckoo bird. O Sri Krishna, you are the Sri Vanta, honored by your own famous fame. Ramini Kanta, you are the lover of loving young gopis. Sri Bhagavanta, you are the supreme personality of God.
O Sri Radhe, you are Chandra Badani, the possessor of spotless moon face. Kunda Radhini, your teeth look like small round white jasmine flowers. Shobha Sadani, you are the very abode of majesty, beauty and splendor. O Sri Krishna, you are Prabha Udara, the most supremely magnanimous personality. Prabha Apara, your bodily aura radiates out into unlimited eternity. Ati Suvanvara, endowed with the softness of extremely youthful charm.
O Sri Radhe, you are Tamsi Gavani. Your gait resembles that of a majestic swan. Sajati Ravani, the most radiant lover of Lord Krishna, Krida Kavani, the jester of many fun sports and contests. O Sri Krishna, you are Rupa Rasala, the embodiment of the most relishable beauty. Naina Bhisala, lotus eyes are large and wide. Parama Kurapala, the topmost merciful personality. 8.
O Sri Radhe, you are Kanchan Veli, the golden creeper wound around the Sama Tamala tree. Rati Ras Veli, full to the brim with the static mellows of pure divine love. Atiyal Veli, your unique activities are conducted in complete privacy. O Sri Krishna, you are Sarvasukha Sagar, the reservoir of all pleasure, Sabhaguna Agar, the transcendental mind of all good qualities, Roop Ujagar, you radiate a famous aura of glorious beauty.
O Sri Radha, you are Ravani Ramya, the most charming mistress of your beloved. Taratara Tamya, the supreme pinnacle of the greatness. Guna Agnya, your divine qualities are imperceptible to ordinary senses or minds. Pass it on behind you.
Number 9. Have Damini
Vasi. Damini Vasi.
Yeah.
O Krishna, you are Dham Nivasi, a permanent resident of the holy abode of Sri Brother. Prabha Parashi, you radiate a most influential aura. Sahaja Sushahashi, you naturally wear a pleasant smile.
O Radha, you are Ganesha's internal potency of divine pleasure. Ati Priyavadi, your speech lovely attracts and pleases everyone. Ut Unmadini, your best give ultimate pleasure and satisfaction to your beloved Krishna. O Krishna, you are Anga Anga Dauna. Each part of every one of your transcendental limbs is very captivating. Sarasa Salona, your beauty is saturated with an overflowing portion of ras. Subhaga Sutauna, your chest is beautiful with majestic divine opulence.
O Sri Radhe, you are Radha Damini, celebrated with most blessed name Radha. Guna Abhi Ramani, you please everyone with your good qualities. Hari Priya Swamini, you are only worshipful queen of Hari Priya, the author Hari Vyasadev. Har Har Hari Har Hari Shri Krishna.
Maybe we should do one about Lord Chaitanya. Then.
Yeah.
Navagora Varam.
Yeah.
Is that there?
Yeah.
Navagora Varam.
24.
Navapushpasunam. Is that there?
Yeah, it's on page
24. Sachi Sutastukam.
Page 24.
see them for a second? You don't have to break them. This is a really sweet bhajan. The cartel should be played sweet. They make the sounds themselves. You don't have to do it for them. Can you try it?
Thank you.
Palpita. His complexion is the hue of fresh cream tinged with kunkum. He is the ever-fresh cupid who shoots arrows of newly blossoming flowers. He bears newer and newer moods of emotional ecstasies. He is fond of performing novel dances. He makes ever new jokes that cause much laughter. His brilliant luster is like freshly cast gold. I bow down to Gora, the beautiful son of Mother Sachi. He is endowed with ever-fresh love of Godhead. His radiant luster is like the color of fresh butter. His fresh attire is arranged in ever new fashions. He relishes ever new mellows of love for Krishna. He shines in ninefold new ways while executing the ninefold processes of devotion. He is permeated with a most auspicious loving nature. I bow down to Gora, the beautiful son of Mother Sachi. He is absorbed in devotion to Sri Hari. He maintains the chanting of the names of Hari. While chanting, he counts the holy names on the fingers of his hands. He is addicted. If anyone ever questions if Lord Chaitanya chanted japa, here it is. Counts the holy names on the fingers of his hands. He is addicted to the name of Hari. He always has tears of love welling in his eyes. I bow down to Gora, the beautiful son of Mother Sachi. He is always removing the suffering of material existence from mankind. He is the goal of life of persons who are dedicated to their supreme interest. He inspires men to become like honeybees, eager for the honey of Krishna Prema. He removes the burning fever of the material world. I bow down to Gora, the beautiful son of Mother Sachi. He motivates pure devotion unto himself. He is most attractive to his beloved servitors. By his dramatic dancing, he exhibits the characteristics of the king of paramours. He causes the minds of beautiful young village women to dance. I bow down to Gora, the beautiful son of Mother Sachi. He plays kartels, as his throat emits sweet, melodious sounds, and the vibrant notes of the veena are softly played. He thus inspires the devotees to perform dramatic dancing that is infused with aspects of his own devotional service. I bow down to Gora, the beautiful son of Mother Sachi. He is accompanied by the Sankirtan movement, which is the religious practice for the age of Kali. He is the son of Nanda Maharaj, come again. He is the extraordinarily brilliant ornament of the earth. His preaching mood is suitably adapted to the cycle of birth and death. His consciousness is fixed in meditation on his own form of Krishna. He is always accompanied by his transcendental abode. I bow to Gora, the beautiful son of Mother Sachi. His eyes, the soles of his feet, and his clothing are reddish like the color that heralds the rising sun. As he utters his own names, his voice falters. He awakens a sweet flavor to life throughout the universe. I bow down to Gora, the beautiful son of Mother Sachi. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. You can see the transformation that took place from the reservoir of all bad logic, which Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was formerly known before his 7-day, was it 7 or 8? 7 days recitation of Vedanta Sutra. And Lord Chaitanya transformed the heart of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Although previously an impersonalist, accustomed to logic and argument, who could not recognize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who had personally appeared in his home, Gopinath Acharya challenged him and challenged his students especially, who could not in any way understand because of his bad logic, he had taken the conclusions of the scriptures to say that it's not possible for the Lord to appear, because the Lord is Triyuga. He only appears in three ages. And he gave reference to Srimad Bhagavatam to support his claim. And then Gopinath Acharya had to establish that, because you're so much accustomed to speculative way of thinking and bad logic, you cannot understand the meanings of the scriptures, because you simply take the scriptures and you simply give them interpretation according to your own conclusions. And therefore, although there are, you presenting evidence in an interpreted way, there's other evidence in the scriptures to explain how the Lord also appears in this age, but in this age he is simply covered incarnation, Jana Avatar. He is not, does not appear as the Supreme Lord, but he appears as a devotee of the Supreme Lord. He quotes the verse, Krishna Varam Trisha Krishnam Sangupangashta Parshadam Yagai Sankirtana Kharaya Janti Yusumedasa. The age of Kali is the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto. The emperor of all evidence, Gopinath Acharya, supports his realization to say that actually he is none other than the Supreme Lord who has appeared in this age. He is not carrying any weapons, but he has come with his associates to spread, propagate the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord, and persons who are actually intelligent, they'll worship the Lord in this age. Of course, Lord Chaitanya did not like to be referred to as the Supreme Lord. Once it's described in Chaitanya Bhagavat that how Advaita Acharya he decided to have a kirtan chanting the names of Gaura, and but all the associates knew how disturbed Lord Chaitanya would get if people would worship him and glorify him as the Supreme Lord, because it would disturb his mood as a devotee. Nonetheless, Advaita Acharya was very determined in his efforts to glorify Lord Chaitanya. And he started chanting the names of the Lord Chaitanya, and all of the other devotees who were accompanying, who were present with him. Lord Chaitanya was present there, and they looked at Lord Chaitanya and they looked at Advaita Acharya and didn't want to do anything. They didn't want to follow his lead. They were afraid, they were fearful, because they had seen before, the evidence before, that it was displayed by Lord Chaitanya as he would become disturbed. But this time Advaita Acharya, he was very insistent. Chant, chant, chant. And they looked and he saw his determination, he saw his fearlessness, and they began to chant the names of Lord Chaitanya fearlessly. Everyone needs an example, isn't it? An example of the necessity. We talked about yesterday how Lord Chaitanya came to teach by his example. Advaita Acharya was their example. He was fearless. And they, therefore they got their strength to chant Lord Chaitanya's names by his fearlessness in Lord Chaitanya's presence. And they began chanting. And Lord Chaitanya left that place. And they followed behind him with the kirtan. Lord Chaitanya went into the room, closed the door, and he lied down as if to go to sleep. And the kirtan prevailed outside. Advaita Acharya and all the devotees were chanting. And then finally Govinda was there. He opened the door, he let them in, and Lord Chaitanya was feigning as he was sleeping. And then finally he looked up at them and said, "What are you doing? Why are you doing this?" I think it was Srivas Pandit. He put his hand in front of his face, in front of Lord Chaitanya. He held us up his hand, and this, and Lord Chaitanya says, "What does this mean? You're holding your hand up like this." And Srivas said, "It's just like it's impossible to cover the sun with one's hand. It's impossible to cover your identity. We know who you are. we know why you've appeared. And Srivas Thakur, of course, was, again, he got his strength, his to disclose his realization about the position of Lord Chaitanya. And of course, Lord Chaitanya was not displeased by this. But still, he wanted to always keep his position as in the mood of a devotee. And that was his mood. He described how sometimes he would take the clothes of the residents of Navadvip and wash their cloth. He would bow down before everyone, offering obeisances to them. He was so much absorbed in that mood. So the devotees could understand the position of the Lord, but Savabhava Bhattacharya, although they didn't understand it, as we know in his childhood, Lord Chaitanya did not, as Nimai, did not disclose, did not reveal in any way his divinity, except to a few rare persons, such as the pilgrim Brahmin, who came and was carrying his deity of Gopal and entered into the house of Jagannath Mishra and Sachimata, and they were very much inclined to they learned that he was a Brahmin living in the forest of roots and berries and wild berries, and they said, "Oh, we can see you're a saintly person, why don't you prepare some nice cooked food for your deity Gopal?" And the Brahmin was not so inclined. He said, "No, it's okay, I'll be satisfied to eat whatever." And Jagannath Mishra says, "No, you're a guest in my home. The guest in his home is to be worshipped and respected. You must accept my invitation. Please prepare food for your deity." And so he agreed to prepare food for Gopal. He made some wonderful cooked rice with ghee and other preparations to offer. And then as he began offering these preparations before Gopal, young Nimai appeared and grabbed a handful of rice and began eating it. And the Brahmin said, "Oh, what have you done? How can I offer this rice now? It's been contaminated." Anyways, we know the story. Jagannath Mishra became very disturbed. He wanted to punish his son, but the Brahmin said, "No, please, he's simply a young, innocent child. He does not know what is right and what is wrong. Please do not punish him." And then Jagannath Mishra invited him again, "Please, you must cook again." The Brahmin was not so inclined. He said, "No, it is Krishna's will. It is Gopal's will. We will simply accept some fruits and berries from the forest, wild roots, whatever it may be." But Jagannath Mishra was persistent. They cleaned the house and said, "Now the kitchen's all clean, all the ingredients are there, prepare it again." This time they took Nimai out of the house. And but on this particular occasion, and then the neighbors, they were making fun of Nimai. "Oh, Nimai, what have you done? You've eaten some rice of a stranger. You don't even know, what caste he is." And then I said, "No, I am a cowherd boy." and I can't remember what else he said to give his rebuttal to their claims. But they took him to the other room and then into the other house, and then when the Brahmin cooked everything, made his offering, then Nimai came back again, snatched the rice. And the Brahmin was shocked. Jagannath Mishra this time was really irate, began chasing him with a stick to punish him. And the Brahmin said, "No, please don't. He does not deserve it. He's an innocent boy." And he convinced Jagannath Mishra not to punish him. And then they said, wanted him for a third time. He said, "No, forget it." But then Vishwaroop entered the house. And Vishwaroop, when he saw Vishwaroop, he saw his beautiful form. He said, who's the fortunate parents of this beautiful young man? Because he was so awestruck by Vishwaroop's countenance and his presence. And Vishwaroop said to him, he said, please, you are a Brahmin, you are a traveling, wandering mendicant. Can't you see? You're always concerned about the welfare of everyone. You never want to see anyone suffer. Look at my father, he's suffering. Because how can you let my father suffer like this? Must once again accept his invitation to cook. And the Brahmin was saying, but it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Who cooks at this time? Vishwaroop begged him again. And then, so he agreed once again to cook. And then, after cooking, I think that Nimai was also, he was in the other room, and he said, don't worry, he's sound asleep. And then by his yogamaya potency, he put everybody else to sleep. And he left the house next door and entered into that place where the Brahmin was preparing, was making the offering of rice. And this time, he snatched the rice again, and when the Brahmin cried out, nobody could hear him. He was sound asleep. And and then Nimai said to the Brahmin, I've come to take the rice. And the Brahmin says, what are you doing? And he said, Nimai said, you're calling me. And every time you call, I come. I want to take the food directly offered from the hands of my devotee. You, just as you are offering me this rice now, in a previous life, you also cooked for me and prepared rice. And I came and I accepted your offering. And then Nimai manifested the most wonderful form. He displayed his divinity before the pilgrim Brahmin. He manifested, I think it was an 8-hour form. He was holding... in his two arms he was Lord Chaitanya, he manifested four arms, and then he was holding butter and with the other two arms and taking the butter out of the pot and eating it, and I think the other four arms were his four arms, the conch shell, club, lotus flower, and disc. And then the Brahmin saw this beautiful form and fell to the ground and fell unconscious. And Lord Chaitanya, in this beautiful form, picked him up, brought him back to consciousness, and said, please look at this form. And then revealed how he always comes and accepts the offerings from the hands of his devotees. He's very much inclined to accept whenever the devotee offers anything with love. And Brahmin saw not only this beautiful form, but he saw Vrindavan, he saw the Yamuna River, he saw Govardhan Hill, saw all Krishna's associates surrounded by him, his cowherd boys and the gopis. They're all manifest there in the home of Jagannath Mishra. And then he said, Lord Chaitanya said to the Brahmin, he said, do not disclose what you've seen here tonight. He says, if you disclose what you've seen, what I've displayed to you, you'll be destroyed. So I've come to fulfill a purpose, and it's not time yet for me to fulfill that purpose. But if you want to see, then hang around, and you can watch. But don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone what you've seen. And then he manifested his childhood form. And the Brahmin began crying out in ecstasy. And then he took all the food that he prepared and he began smearing it all over his body in ecstasy. The prasad that had been touched by M. Nimai. And he began screaming out so loud in ecstasy that everyone began to wake up, and then he realized that nobody could. So he took everything and he ate it. And when everyone came, He was inclined. He wanted to tell them, but he remembered the Lord's words and didn't say anything. And they all came and saw how he had eaten, and they thought, see, he was successful in his third offering. Nothing is contaminated. He's fully satisfied. So that was the Lord's disposition. As a child, he would hide his identity. But until it was time for him to fulfill his purposes. But later, the devotees began to realize, especially Advaita Acharya, because Advaita Acharya had a lot of doubts, because Advaita was the one who called him to descend. And he even started to think, you know, he couldn't understand why he became so captivated by the beauty of this child. Sometime, while Advaita Acharya used to give regular discourses to Vishwaroop, which led to Vishwaroop's renunciation, but at least as thought of by Sachimata, but he would regularly speak to an assembly, and Vishwaroop would come and hear his presentation, and then Sachimata would send Nimai to come and to bring his older brother home. And whatever Nimai would enter into the assembly, Advaita Acharya, he would stop and look at his beautiful form. He couldn't speak. He became speechless upon seeing that form. And he began to question within himself, why am I experiencing this whenever I see the beautiful form of this young child? What is it that's so attractive that's drawing me? He didn't know. He didn't. The Lord had all his associates in Yogamaya, although he had requested all of them to descend before he descended to participate in his lila. And they were all anxious for him to come, and even Advaita Acharya called the Lord to descend when he saw the state of affairs at that time. He did not recognize. And even one time, I think it was later, in the still Navadvip Lila, when they were becoming disturbed by the nocturnal kirtans that they were having in the house of Shivas Thakur, and many of the residents would complain, and then they heard that the Qazi was sending an army to come to arrest everybody, and what happened was that they all became fearful because they were thinking everyone was going to be arrested by the army. And Srivas Thakur became very, very concerned about the welfare of all the devotees. And he ran into his room and he began offering worship to Lord Nrisimhadev. And all the devotees, they were run in hiding from the army that were coming to arrest them. But Lord Chaitanya was walking the street completely fearless, and everybody was wondering, why is he walking about so fearlessly? So while Srivas Thakur was offering artik to Lord Nrisimhadev, Lord Chaitanya was walking about like a lion, and he started calling out, I am he, I am he, I am he. And he ran to that place where Srivas Thakur was offering artik, and he knocked on the door and said, Srivas, what are you doing in there? And Srivas just continued offering artik. And then Lord Chaitanya pushed open the door and said to Srivas, don't you know I am he? And Srivas was astonished. What do you mean? And then he manifested a form similar to Lord Nrisimhadev. And he said, don't you understand? They cannot hurt you. They cannot hurt anyone here. Not this Qazi, he cannot do anything to, unless I give sanction to him within his heart to harm anyone. I will always protect my devotees. And when Srivas saw this most wonderful form, he realized that who Nimai was. He fell on the ground, offered his prostrated obeisances. And then Lord Chaitanya says, bring all your family members here. And the Lord, one by one, he placed his lotus feet on their heads, blessed them, and said, my devotees will always be protected. Do not fear. So gradually he began disclosing. But in this particular pastime, we see that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, even though the devotees knew his identity, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya could not recognize the Lord. But then, after that wonderful pastime of reciting Vedanta Sutra for 7 consecutive days, and Lord Chaitanya sitting there, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was wondering, what is it that, you know, I've been speaking now for 7 days and you haven't spoken once to confirm that you've understood anything that I've said? And Lord Chaitanya said, I have not been able to listen to anything you've said. I can hear the Vedanta Sutra, but unfortunately you're clouding the Vedanta Sutra with all of your interpretations, and therefore cannot hear anything that you are saying. Again, showing evidence that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has, like all such persons who are accustomed to logic and argument, they couldn't understand the clear, concise conclusions of the scriptures because they already had their own conclusion. And therefore, they simply took the scriptures and by their mental speculation, they saw according to their own conclusions. So, we know Lord Chaitanya was very merciful to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, displayed total humility in his presence and defeated him, revealed his actual divinity. And this song, 8 prayers glorifying the son of Srimati Sachi Devi, this song, and the Sarvabhauma, what is that? The 100 prayers of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. They were all written in his ecstasy of realizing that the position of Lord Chaitanya. And although previously he had been an impersonalist, when you read this, his very personal, attractive qualities of Lord Chaitanya, we can see the potency of Lord Chaitanya's preaching. As Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says right here, he says his preaching mood is suitably adapted to the cycle of birth and death. So, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became completely transformed into a great devotee of the Lord by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Such as the potency of Lord Chaitanya, he converted even the most hard-hearted impersonalists like Prakashananda Saraswati, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and so many others, by manifesting his qualities as a devotee of the Lord, absorbed in the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna. All right. We have to stop by 2, right? That was the plan.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So we're late. Hare Krishna.